This is Yuri from Stabbing Back. You're checking out The Grind with Casey Steele on PRC.
Hey, what's up, people? I'm Dim.
And I'm Matt from Chariots of the Gods. And you're listening to On The Grind on PRC. The world more worthless on my wrist. My search for the guilt to more than sin. Take myself as a great defender. Running off the map with that nurse.
The new Auld Lang Syne. That is some new Less Than Jake off of their Greetings and Salutations From release, which came out just a few days ago. Chris here, welcoming you to Volume 146, our first show of the year, and our first show of our sixth season, so Happy New Year to ya. If you caught the start of the show, you heard a bit from the two bands that we'll be interviewing in today's program, Canadian Metal, by the name of Chariots of the Gods. At the start of the week, I got the band's two guitarists on the line to talk to them about their debut full-length, Tides of War, working with legendary producer Glenn Robinson, and even a little bit of NHL politics. That conversation will be coming up in the second half of Volume 146. For our first interview, Stacey Steele talks to Yuri, the bassist for Stabbed in Back, a punk rock hardcore outfit from Albuquerque, New Mexico. To fill things out, we'll be spinning some Fat Records bands, some new stuff out this week on that label, including some more Less Than Jake, as well as some brand new Snuff, who marked their first new album out on Fat Records in 10 years with their 5-4-3-2-1 Perhaps album, which also came out this Tuesday. And you can't play some Fat Rack stuff without including the band most heavily associated with the label. That's NoFX, of course. The band rang in their new year in Montreal, playing to a packed host of fans and revelers who had traveled from all over parts of Canada and the States to party it up with the band. From their self-entitled release, Xmas Has Been X'd. band Rat Run, a cut off of Snuff's latest 5-4-3-2-1 Perhaps album. Snuff also flying into La Belle Provence to play that New Year's Eve show in Montreal. Well, it seemed like 2012 was the year of reunions for a lot of bands who had called it quits over the last decade or so. That trend seems to be continuing as Edmonton's mathlotic punks Choke are reuniting for a stretch of dates across Canada, including a show in Toronto with Grade and Monine. Off of 1999's Forward release, Choke with Recoil. Face Melt from Slush, just one of the great bands on the bill for the 4th annual Whistler Snow Slam, taking place on the 2nd of February. Also one of Choke's Western Canadian appearances as part of their Dead Band Touring reunion tour. More on all of that next week though, because Stacey Steele will be talking with Choke's bassist Clay, and I'll be logging an interview with Jim from Pulley for Volume 147, along with some awesome bands in our mailbox features. So don't forget to check that out. Carrying on with this show, let's get into Stacey's chat with Yuri from Stabbed in Back. From their allies Split 7-inch with Subwaste, this is Parasiting.
On PRC. This is Stacey Steele, and I am speaking via Skype with Yuri of Stabbed in Back. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great, Stacey. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for speaking with us this afternoon. So tell us a little bit about, for those of us that don't know, perhaps, where you formed, and I know you formed back in 2004.
That's right. Well, the band operates out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. We started in 2004 when our drummer Tim moved down from Wyoming. He tried getting the band going for a little while with no success when he finally decided to move his buddy Dustin down from Wyoming. And then their singer Kendall, who had been in the band with me, they called me, told me they were looking for a bass player, playing in a punk rock band. I thought, hey,
yeah,
fun. And then we got going. Started playing around, writing a bunch of songs. 2006, we recorded an album at the Blasting Room, 4-song EP released on Basement Records from California.
That's really awesome. I just wanted to talk to you about that. How did that come to be with the recording in the Blasting Room?
Well, Kid had some connections with, not exactly which one of the guys that worked there, because he played drums at No Willington. So he had some knowledge about some of those guys and called him up, asked for a quote. It was within our budget. We just drove up to Fort Collins and had a great time. It's really fun working there.
Yeah. Did you find that hailing from Albuquerque, did life in the city inspire or affect your music? Did it come out on your recordings at all?
I really can't say that it does too much. I mean, there's definitely a desert culture out here in New Mexico, especially Albuquerque, kind of laid back. But I can really say that it really transcends into our music at all. We just like to play music that we listened to when we were growing up.
punk rock that was coming out in the 80s and the 90s and stuff like that. So
what kind of stuff influenced you guys over the years?
I'm sorry?
What kind of music inspired you guys over the years to make punk rock music? What bands?
Bad Religion has always been one of our favorites.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
I definitely love No Effects. And really kind of wanted to bring back some of the great music that we grew up on when we were high school and stuff. Bad Religion, No Effects, Rancid, of course. A lot of the fat bands, Screeching Weasel, kind of all over the place, really. We like to play fast and hard. We really like melodies.
What do you guys like to sing about? Do you sing about similar things that, say, Bad Religion would sing about?
I'd say there are some socio-political aspects to our music. Adam, our singer, he could definitely explain a little bit more because I just play bass and kind of, you know, sing backing vocals. But a lot of the songs are about growing up in this crazy world and trying to figure out your place and see through some of the hypocrisy that we're taught as we're young. And, you know, we have a lot of songs just about getting out some angst and anger or stuff like that.
Okay. You guys have been with Warbird Entertainment and Dang Records. How did you guys get on board that gravy train?
Well,
they're really awesome, by the way. I've met both of them before. Both.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great guys. I guess we started off with Dang. We wanted to put out some new music, and we had worked in the basement for several years and thought that we'd like to try a new direction. So we were shopping around. Tim got a hold of Sean and asked him if he would be interested in doing something with us, and thought, hey, let's do a split 7-inch. The Scandals from New Jersey were also ready to put out another split 7-inch record, so we got together with them, and that worked out really well. And after we did that record, Tim found out about Warbird Entertainment, and he wrote some of the bands that Drew was putting out. And also, since Drew has worked with so many international bands, we thought that might be a cool step to take to get some international connections as well as distribution. So
yeah,
we talked to him about doing a record, and he got us in touch with Subway from Sweden and put that record together. And then went on tour with those guys, which was awesome.
Yeah, you guys did a tour this past year, including Europe and the Fest. You guys have played shows this year with Strung Out and the Swellers, Car Bomb, and you put out the 7-inch. You guys have been really busy. So what's coming up in 2013 for you guys?
2012 was a super busy year for us, and I think 2013 is going to be even busier. We have several new records that we're working on. We're going to put out another couple of records with Drew and Warbird Entertainment, and then we're going to put out another 7-inch on Say 10 record. We just finished recording a music video for one of the songs off of our 7-inch with
Under the Black Flag. That was a lot of fun. That was, I saw on the Twitter feeds and the Facebook that it was right before Christmas and you had a video shoot. Was it fun?
Yeah, it was really fun. It really wasn't too much as far as any sort of acting or anything. We just filmed it jamming in our practice space, but it was fun. It was a good time. My friend Mario, he's directing the video. He's really talented. I've known him for years. So it was cool working with him. It was really cold, though. It was a really cold night, and we wanted to look cool, so of course I was rocking the sleeveless t-shirt in like 45 degree weather in the practice space, but we made it happen. It should look cool.
Absolutely.
That should be out in February.
Okay.
February 1st is the release date on Blink TV. And then we have, we're working with a booking agent to put together a U.S. tour. I'm not exactly sure any of the details on that, but that will definitely take up a chunk of the year. And we'd definitely like to go back to Europe again. Hopefully that can happen this year, maybe next year, or 2014, I should say.
I know you guys have a show with Guttermouth in February. Whereabouts is that?
Yeah, that's going to be our first show of the year,
yeah.
I believe, the Launchpad in Albuquerque.
Launchpad at Albuquerque.
Right.
Awesome. We'll describe a Stabbed in Back live show for those of us that don't know.
Well, we like to bring a lot of energy to the stage when we play, jumping around. And personally, I like to put as much effort into every single show as I possibly can. So I'm running around, jumping, sweating all over the place. Adam, our singer, likes to get really intimate with the crowd. He jumps off the stage and likes to sing face-to-face with people. And we have a history of breaking mic cords and stuff like that. But yet, the venue is still in live effect, so just people enjoy it.
Yeah, your music is awesome. It's really tight.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Where can people find you through social media? On your Facebook, Twitter, and I know you guys have a website.
Right. We have a website, stabbedinback.com, Facebook. On Twitter, it's stabbed_in_back. We'll have some stuff up on YouTube.
Yeah, there's some really good live videos of you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything to add to wrap up our interview on The Grind?
Well, I just like to say to everybody out there, keep an ear open, and we will hopefully be in a venue near you soon.
Awesome. Last but not least, could you please tell us one of your favorite songs off your latest album?
My favorite song would have to be Cave In, which is off of the Ally split 7-inch we did with Subwaste on Warbird Entertainment. It's a great song. I love the bass line, of course, and it's got a cool chorus at the end that we repeat, sort of an anthem.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Well,
thank you, Stacey.
the present is full of hazards. Many months of sacrifice and self-discipline lie ahead. Many threats and denunciations keep us aware of our dangers. But the greatest danger of all would be to do nothing.
Wrapping up our interview segment with Stabbed in Back. We also heard another new Less Than Jake song in there that was Flag Bearers Union and Ronnie and Megs from NoFX. Did you know that NoFX's El Jefe runs a record label with his model wife Jen? It's called Cybertracks, and they've just doubled their label's roster when they signed Our Buds and Implants at the start of the year. They joined Margate, the other band currently in the Cybertracks family. I'd say we're on the other side of the halfway mark of the show, and we're getting closer to my chat with a couple of the guys from Ottawa's Chariots of the Gods. One last new track off of Snuff's latest album to take us there, I Blame the Parents.
Yeah!
All right, switching into metal mode now. From their debut full-length Tides of War, this is Chariots of the Gods with Starborn. Back to The Grind on punkradiocast.com. We've got a couple dudes from an Ottawa metal band. Great new album. I've had an opportunity to listen to it before it actually debuts on the scene on the 29th of January. We've got Matt and Dimitri, a couple guitarists from the Ottawa band Chariots of the Gods. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. Can't complain. It's not really blizzarding right now, so I guess that's a good day in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Let's talk about the band in general to start off with, and then we'll get a little bit more into the album and that kind of thing. Chariots of the Gods, give me a bit of a history on you guys.
Well, we've been running since 2008. You know, we started like any regular, you know, small band, you know, with friends jamming in basements and stuff. And we recruited, you know, some friends that were like, oh, you know, a drummer, and then another guy knew a singer. So we paired up, and that's what became the first version, I'd say, of Chariots of the Gods. And then we recorded our first EP in 2010. It's called Reverence, you know, and it got us, you know, going in the studio for the first time and see how, you know, everybody work together in a studio and make, you know, creating music and stuff. So, you know, that was the first experience. But then, you know, our first guitar player left, and then the bassist left. So we replaced them with two new guys, Dimitri being the new guitar player. And, you know, from there we practiced, we did a lot of shows, you know, owned our skills, got tighter as a band. And then, you know, we started working on the, what would be our first full-length album. Tides of War is going to be released soon. And, you know, we went in the studio and, you know, that's with that's with Glenn Robinson. And, you know, that's about it for now. You know, we're now.
Yeah, it's a complete story. But
So now that you... That's about it for, like, the... Grosso modo.
So now that you're at this point, you guys have a big year ahead of you. The debut full-length album... Tides of War, it's coming out. You say you worked with Glenn Robinson on this. How, like, what kind of experience was that? Because, I mean, well, fuck, he's a legend.
Yeah.
Well, apparently we've been told that he's a legend by quite a few people. But, you know, we don't see it the same way because we kind of got to know the guy, you know. That was kind of weird, you know. We drank beer with the guy. We ate food, you know. It was so when we're, like, when we say to people we work with him and they're like, oh, shit, we're like, really? But we kind of know.
You know,
his background also, but, you know, we're kind of like out of the perspective a bit, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, really, really cool guy to work with. I mean, you know, he's got some chops in the studio. It's amazing.
So how did he push you guys further than you had gone possibly with your previous EP?
Well, I mean, you know, working with him was definitely a new experience. Because he, being like, he's done more, you know, well, he has a long career. You know, he's been working in the music industry since the late 80s. So, I mean, he's got a more old school way of approaching things. So, you know, that's different. Because, I mean, his approach is like, you know, he doesn't want to rely on the computer to do the work. He wants the musician to do the best work he can and then enhance it with the computer. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's great.
He was very organic kind of guy.
Yeah. So try to get the best out of everyone and then, you know, fix the mistakes or try to get everything tight after. But, you know, he really pushed us to make, like, you know, do the best take you can without my help in the computer. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's awesome. So, too many times, I'm not going to name any names, but I mean, you hear some albums come out and you're kind of stoked because maybe you've heard some previous work from these bands, and then you hear it's just like a series of overdubs and you're thinking, like, how the hell are you going to recreate this live on stage? And I think the way that Glenn does it, it gives you guys a chance to build your musicianship a little bit more and be able to pull that off on a regular basis when you're up on stage touring live.
Yeah, well, of course we used overdubs, but the way Glenn did it, I believe, is he really put up front what was important to hear in, like, I don't know, a wall of five or six guitars. So when you come to our shows, it just sounds the same, you know. It's just a little add-on on the album, but nothing like crazy guitar stuff that's impossible to pull off. So,
yeah. Oh, that's wicked. And I got to say, I really enjoy the album. I got it right between Christmas and New Year's. It came in the mail from our buddy John Asher. And it's definitely been in my car, and it's been a great, you know, you're leaving whatever mall you're at and you're hearing all this overplayed Christmas stuff. And then I get in the car and I can just crank it up and, like, all right, this is with Blind Assassin right in my face.
Run, grab your mind, make sure.
yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, are you hockey fans by chance?
I am.
Personally. Yeah, but, well, I kind of enjoy hockey. I'm not really super, like, connoisseur of the thing, but, you know, yeah, I enjoy it for sure, yeah.
They have just made the most recent announcement that apparently there's going to be a season. It sounds like you guys are kind of in the same boat as me. You enjoy the hockey, but you're not, like, a diehard fan that you're going to beat down the doors to see the first game, hey?
Oh, no. I mean, you know, if I get a chance to, you know, watch hockey on TV when it's playing, or especially the playoffs.
Yeah, but, playoffs is always cool. You know, grab a few beers and, you know, with friends, watch the playoffs. It's always nice.
But, you know, I won't be like you say, you know, waiting in line to get tickets to be, you know, seeing the first game or stuff.
Now, as musicians, what do you guys think about this? I mean, you guys are hockey players and musicians, different ends of the spectrum, but both doing entertainment. Now, you look at some of the paychecks that they're fighting for, and even what, you know, they're not happy with, and you're thinking, man, if I could even just make that a year, I would be, I'd be fucking set, right? How does that, does that bug you guys?
It depends. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain. It's relative to what you do. I mean, I cannot argue with them fighting for what's best for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pay can be a bit like...
It seems a bit much, like, from our, let's say, our perspective, I guess. But, I mean, it's really weird, like, you know, trying to explain it. I mean, of course...
Musicians should get more money, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even if you're making, I don't know, $10 an hour or $40 an hour, you know, you still have the right to fight for what belongs to you.
Oh, exactly.
That being said, they might make a bit too much, or, you know, it involves a lot of things too. Being a hockey player, we don't really know. But yeah, musicians, on the other hand, will definitely deserve a bit more money. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think, like, from my point of view, on the big scale of things, you look at some of these paychecks for people, and then you look at what, like, our teachers and nurses and doctors, well, not so much doctors, I guess, but, you know, the more necessities of life and what they're getting paid. And you're like, well, our system's a little bit skewed on what we do. And then because I'm such a fan of music, I always, you know, I'm thinking, well, what if the tables were turned a different way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, and you're, like, comparing it to, you know, teachers and people working in the hospitals and stuff like that. Yeah, of course. I mean, those guys are saving lives on a daily basis. Or, I mean, you know, they're teaching the next generation of people, you know. I mean, you'd want them to be well-paid so they can do the best job possible. But, you know, I mean, with the thing with hockey players, I guess it's just, you know, they want to, I guess, you know, they say, you know, we're out there on the ice and, you know, we can get hurt. I guess they want some insurance, being the money that, you know, they won't be left high and dry, I guess. Yeah.
Sorry to bring that up. It was just, I kept hearing so much news on it today, and I'm thinking, man, society has our you know, values kind of messed up, in my opinion.
That's kind of cool. You know, it's actually interesting to have that kind of question, because it's really new. You know, all the interviews never go in sort of like...
off on other topics.
Yeah,
you know, like my values and stuff like that. It's, you know, stuff, these are kind of issues that make you think and, like you said, re-question your society values.
Well, deviating a little bit back, where do you guys pull your inspiration from musically and writing? I know that, Matt, you're involved in a lot of that. And give us some of a background on what you guys bring into the mix.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I mean, like you said, Matt does most of the like the writing. He writes pretty much a bit, like half of the lyrics also on that album, but that's like subject to change. But yeah, usually what we do is Matt writes pretty much the whole song, I say the chord basics of the song,
the deal structure and everything. You know?
Yeah, okay. And we kind of, you know, everybody adds its own little inputs here and there, and, well, you know, solos, Meve.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, when we, you know, I write, like you said, the core of the song, write the structure and everything, and then, you know, when I give it to the guys and stuff, we, you know, we arrange, we kind of rearrange it, or we tweak stuff, we add stuff, and, you know, but as for inspiration, I mean, if, you know, there's, I guess, obvious bands like In Flames, Trivium, Children of Bodom, Annihilator.
That would be those would be mostly influences more than inspiration, right?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, as far as writing inspirations, you know, the way I write the songs, I mean, that's just, I don't know. I mean, you know, I listen to we all listen to a lot of different styles of music, not just heavy metal. you know? So, I mean, you know, I tend to write, quote-unquote, poppier songs than, you know, straight-up 6 minutes metal thrash anthems or something like that. You know, I mean, it's a standard pop structure I use. So, I mean, that's probably more from having listened to a lot of classic rock or, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, that's as for writing influences, that's, you know, like bands like Boston, you know, Aerosmith, Black Sabbath even. AC/DC, nice, stuff like that. So, yeah, for structure, those are influences. But as in the style and stuff, I'd say more like I said previously, like In Flames, Children of Bodom.
And I think this has been like, you know, maybe not everybody's able to see that, but we try to make heavy metal in a rock and roll way, you know, keep the energy, this pop side of the thing. But, yeah, that's what we try to do.
Yeah, get the hooks in there, you know, like chorus that, you know, lift you, that got, you know, they got drives, hooks in them. That's the thing, you know, get the melodies in there.
Melodies that stick in your head.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're trying to do.
Another new one, Red Skies.
You're based out of Ottawa, but you're so damn close to the epic Montreal metal scene. What kind of crossover do you guys see living and playing out of Ottawa? I mean, obviously you guys play there a lot.
That's not a question. Let me think about that one a bit.
Well, you know, I mean, of course, you know, Montreal being like a bigger city for starters. I mean, it's got a lot more outlets for bands to play in and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's definitely one thing that's, I think personally, is missing here. You know, we need more places for bands to play. I mean, it's either too small or too big of a venue, you know?
Yeah.
There's no good in-betweens like there's in Montreal. So, I mean, right off the bat, that's one that's, I think, you know, is a big issue. But, I mean, also, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different styles of band, you know, in Montreal. It's a very diverse city, so... You know, I mean, there's similarities, but I mean, you know, Montreal being the bigger one, and it's, like you said, it's a kind of a metal capital for Quebec and stuff, so.
The cool thing about Montreal is also the thing that's not that cool at the same time is when we go there, we play, like, there's so many venues that we never play at the same place.
Okay.
So. It's good in the sense that we always make new fans, we always play different places, see new people, everything. But the bad side of this is it's a bit harder to build a strong fan base. Like,
yeah.
If we go to other cities in the province, like Drummondville or Sherbrooke or Trois-Rivières or all that stuff, you know, there's like, I don't know, one, two venues. All of the metal shows happen at, like, that big venue, so people are used to see you, they come back, they remember you, you can build easier. But in Montreal, like I said, there's like diversity that's always, you know, cool to have also. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's an interesting answer. I wasn't sure what I would get for that question. Do you have any standout tracks that you personally just love to play off of your new album Tides of War?
Of course, yeah. You know, cheesy answer would be to say, oh, we love them all, but you know, it's a fact.
Yeah, that's the easy answer.
We love them all, but some
we don't like to play.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, some songs are more like album songs, some are more like live songs, some are both. That's like, that's perfect. But for me, I'd say, I mean, that might sound lazy, but As far as my live performance is concerned, I like to play easier songs, the songs where I don't have to, you know, be all and like concentrated, you know, where I can just like, you know, move and bounce around.
Yeah.
So I guess I like playing songs like Severing the Bloodline and, of course, the heavier songs are always nice to play. Songs like, I'd say Blind Assassin, because, you know, it's really that's fast, so it pumps me up, yeah.
That's you know, then as for me, yeah, I mean, I really like to play Annihilation of the Gods, the last song on the album. It's got, you know, it's got a nice thrashy groove to it. You know, it's fast. And, you know, I mean, I also like the single Tides of War. It's, I think, you know, personally, I mean, it's easy to play and it's got a good solo to it. You know, it's pretty cool. So, you know, I get to shred. So I always like that.
Nice. Now, you guys have had a great opportunity to play with a lot of wicked bands in your history so far, ranging from the metal side to the punk side and ska as well. I mean, obviously, with some great Montreal ska and punk bands like the St. Catharines and Planet Smashers. What was the best standout show for you, for each of you guys, that you can think of so far?
Yeah.
We've played, like you said, with lots of big bands, but, you know, it's when you do a hometown gig, that's always something special, right? Because there's
People you know. And
there's more people, you know, you've been growing there, so people watched you.
Personally, I got to say that the last show we did in our hometown on September 22nd, I think, that was really awesome. You know, it was with the other bands were friends of ours and stuff. So, it had been a while since we'd played here in Ottawa. So, I mean, you know, we just had a blast there. Really, the energy of the people on there. I mean, we totally fed, you know, we were feeding off of that. And that was just a great performance, you know? So personally, that's my peak one. 'Cause I mean, I remember everything went really, really well. There was problems playing wise or gear wise, you know. Everything went swimmingly.
Because you know, it's kind of hard to enjoy a show when
your guitar doesn't work, your jack doesn't work.
Yeah, guitar, the gear, or the crowd is, you know, not too
responding,
much into it, not responding, or just, you know, there's no crowd.
Awkward.
Yeah, sometimes that, you know, in the early days that happened, you know, it was like, yeah, well, you got to go do your job, you got to go on stage, and even if there's, you know, two people there, you know, you got to do the same show as if there's 100, you know, 200 people there too. Yes, it's the same job you're there to do, you know.
Yeah, exactly, because you have a bad night and three of those people know that you had a bad night or you didn't give a shit or something like that, and then that just, you know, tarnishes your reputation, so you got to give it 100% all the time.
Yeah, you know.
Exactly, and we really try to, you know, like Matt just said,
bring people over to our side, you know, like those three people there, you know, they're going to have fun,
and you know,
we can guarantee that, because, I mean, you know, those three ones, we're going to concentrate, you know, exclusively, because they're the only ones.
Exclusively, so, you know, at least we know, like, these three are going to like us rather than, I don't know, one or two in a big crowd or something. I don't know.
Those shows, I mean, you get them, like you say, early in your career, and then sometimes when you're on tour, you get the weird Monday night set and something else is going on, and you're like, okay, here we are. We're playing a private show again for these three people.
Yeah, happens.
Well, you know, I mean, like, there's at the same time, I mean, sometimes you're bummed out because you're like, you know, there's no one there.
These are the shows we can fool around.
Yeah, exactly.
We make weird faces and
we jump around, run around on the ground instead of being on the stage. We go play right in front of the people. It's like, it's more like jam sessions.
You know, you make a good use of your wireless system for your guitar.
You
run around the bar and stuff like that, so it's funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what do you guys have coming up for a tour? I see you have something listed for the Drummond Metal Fest 5 this year?
Yeah. With Cryptopsy and Ghoulomatics. And, we got this confirmed. We just confirmed a release show in Montreal on, I believe it is February 16th. Yeah, so it's like the weekend after that. And we're actually, we're talking with a lot of promoters as of now, and nothing has been quite confirmed yet. But there's definitely going to be a couple of shows for the upcoming 2 or 3 months.
February, March, and May. Yep. You know, things are in the works right now. Like you said, we can't. There's been nothing confirmed, but I mean, you know, a lot of promoters are. Are interested, and we're in talks with them trying to sort out a deal.
It kind of also confirms, you know, not confirms, but people seem to be responding
well to the
album, because people are more and more interested, you know, and we
some people who didn't answer to us a couple of years ago they're like, oh, you guys, you want to play here? So
interested, so that's good.
Yeah,
that is awesome, man. For people who want to know what's going on with you, you've got a few places on the web that they should be connected to. You've got your main site, chariotsofthegods.net. You guys are on Facebook as well, right?
Yeah. And we're also on Twitter at I think it's chariots
ot gods.
Yeah,
we We're on Twitter. We have a Bandcamp account from which you can pre-order our album as well as merchandise like t-shirts and all that stuff. We're on vinyl, where you can download Tides of War single for free.
The YouTube channel?
Yeah, the YouTube channel is always nice because everything is on there, a couple of live videos and stuff.
Yeah, you got our video teasers there, the official video trailer is up there.
Video to come right away, so you should follow that on website, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff.
It'll be posted there.
Yep.
Wicked. Well, guys, is there anything else that we didn't touch on that we need to get out there today?
Thanks to you. Yeah, man, that's pretty cool.
You know, thanks for giving us a chance to talk to you. I mean, it's been a blast.
Oh, hey, no worries. I always enjoy talking to artists who put out some fucking wicked awesome music. So thanks for taking.
Annihilation of the Gods, wrapping up our Chariots of the Gods segment. Make sure you tune in next week for talks with Choke, Pulley, and some great punk rock.